welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith. And as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, I promised that I was going to go right back into the message. So here we go. The text that I've chosen for the message, the Father's Children, is found in Job, the 6th chapter, verse 27. Job speaking, "Yea, ye overwhelm the fatherless, and ye dig a pit for your friend." In the 6th chapter of the book of Job, Job shows that his complaints are not causeless. He's just expressing his heart, his feelings. He just desires death. He's so miserable, where he would be free from pain and find comfort and rest. And in verse 14, this is what we need to hear. "To him that is afflicted, pity should be shewed from his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty." The Amplified translation says, "To him who is about to faint and despair, kindness is due from his friend." Think about that. When people are hurting, sometimes all they need is the love of God. Sometimes correction is needed, but you have to know there's a time and a place for all things. So Job is arguing from the point of view that his friend, one of his comforters, Eliphaz, overwhelms him by the force of his argument. Job knew that his Father is the Father and Lord of all creation. We don't know much in terms of personal details about Job. Maybe his natural father wasn't alive. But when we think about what is the purpose, the role of a father, and of course now we're speaking in natural terms, and of course that applies to our Heavenly Father, the primary role of a father is provision, isn't that right? And protection and security for his family, for his wife and children, and all his household. And sometimes people overwhelm or take advantage of people who they know don't have a father or someone who can fight for them when they're helpless. And, you know, we deal with as I said so many times, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh, he uses flesh and blood. There's no question of that. But the motivation is demonic, is satanic. And the devil, once you're down, he's not satisfied you're down. He wants to kick you while you are down. Now, there's nothing moral or ethical in terms of his fighting tactics or techniques. And Job basically was saying to Eliphaz, "You're overwhelming me because you're aware that I don't have a father. I don't have someone who's going to protect me and give me the security I need right now, who's going to provide. I've just had everything taken away from me. My children were killed. My servants were killed. My reputation, my health, everything is gone. And now you're accusing me of wickedness." And he's just saying, "Can't you just comfort me a bit?" And so he's saying, "You've accused me with your tongue. You've battered and shattered me with your words because you know everything has been taken from me. I'm left here alone on this ash heap, and I don't have anyone to protect me." So you think. And Eliphaz says, "You may meet disaster 6 times, and he will save you 7 times, and no harm shall touch you." That's the New English Bible. And yet we see Job is still not delivered. And his friend has made a pit for him. Oh, beloved, can you hear the pain and heartache of Job? And sometimes, you know, I think only as we go through suffering can we really relate to the suffering of others. There's just so many circumstances I can think of where people have been absolutely heartless. They have no capacity, no empathy, no ability to relate to the pain and hurt and suffering of others. Sometimes, have you found the words of family and friends are the harshest to endure? They're more hurtful than the words of an enemy. In verses 22 and 23, this is the New English Translation. Job is speaking, "Did I ever say, 'Give me this or that? Open your purses to save my life. Rescue me from my enemy. Ransom me out of the hands of ruthless men.'" Job does not ask his friend to take any risks to save his life. He's only asking for compassion. And in verses 26 and 27, when he charges Eliphaz with overwhelming the fatherless, he's accusing him of being heartless with a man in despair, and of a power play, if you will, against an orphan, a helpless friend, who doesn't have, or feels at that moment, he doesn't have a father who is going to protect him and fight for him, to have an advocate. In fact, later on in the book, he says, "Oh, that I had a kinsman, someone who could stand in the gap between him, that would be an advocate for him." And of course, we know that the Lord has supplied that. His name is Jesus. Amen. Job is treading the winepress alone. He's saying, "You overwhelm the fatherless." He was overwhelmed when his friend Eliphaz began speaking with a profusion of words. Have you ever had, you know, a situation like that? Oh, people sound very convincing. They can use scripture, and they sound very positive and very assured and convinced of that what they're saying is a truth. And yet, it leaves a person absolutely crushed, deflated, the very opposite of being encouraged. And he goes on, Job says, "How forcible are right words. Oh, there's power with them. There's definite persuasion with them." And he says, I know I'm an upright man. I know that I'm a man of honesty, a man whose integrity is intact. Remember when the book opens, when all these terrible things happen, his wife says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And he says, "You speak as a foolish woman. The Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." If we could experience anything like Job went through, would you be able to say the same thing? Could I say the same thing? That's the real test of our faith in God. Because at one point Job said, "Yea, though God slay me, yet will I trust him." He goes on to say, he said, "I followed the precepts of God, the commandments and testimonies of the Almighty. I know I have lived a good life. You don't know all the facts." His comforters, though they believed they meant well, they certainly felt they were sincere, they were drawing conclusions from partial data. Why, beloved? Because, you know, all they were looking at was his circumstances. Obviously, he had gone through just about everything a human being could go through. His health was attacked finally. He lost all of his children. His wife turns on him, you know, just like, "Just, you're a miserable man. Just why don't you die? Curse God and die." How would you like that from your wife, or say your husband? Some close relationship. No one understood him. He was totally alone in his suffering, and he did not understand what was going on. Job's comforters, as I said, they were drawing conclusions from partial data, and that's why God tells us we can't judge. Now, we can judge things according to the Word of God, but we do not have the right to judge a person's heart because we don't know what's in their heart. And yet, they felt a spiritual superiority. Each of them thought they spoke for God. They kept on overwhelming that poor man, that fatherless child sitting out there on the garbage heap. You know, dogs came and licked his sores. And have you found that people can be so hard when you get down in the ditch? When you get down, people just pile it on you. Job said, "You overwhelm me by your presumptuous accusation." And, you know, it was God who said he was perfect. Look at the opening chapter of Job, that first chapter, and those of you listening along the time, I said, Job is one of my heroes. He didn't know what was going on, but there was a drama in it being enacted in the courts of heaven. And In verse 6, it says, the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. These are the angelic, angelic and demonic, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Listen to the Lord's estimation of Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Think about that. Could God say that about us? This is this man. This is how he was. And Satan answered the Lord and said, he said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge round about him and his house and all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands. His substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. That was the challenge. And you know what? The Lord, because he knew his man, he knew the heart of Job, he said, go ahead. Just don't take his life. and it was proven. It was proven no matter. He said, yea, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. He was a man who endured uncountable affliction and was able to say, yet I will trust in God. Beloved, I'm encouraging with the word of the Lord. Can you say that in spite of whatever difficulties you may be going through right now? Can you say, yea, though God slay me, yet will I trust him? Father, give hope and strength to those who are going through in their own personal life what they feel is a Job experience. Give them the faith that dear man had, that has been recorded for countless thousands of your people as they've read that, to take encouragement from the faith and the stand that he took for righteousness. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's been good to minister to you today, and we will continue on in the message. I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. I love you, and I do invite you to write and share your prayer needs. The announcer will give our contact information. As I say, if you email, I will certainly pray for you. I'll confirm receipt. But if you would like a ministry, a scripture, a prophetic, or whatever God gives for me to share with you, then I ask you to include your mailing address. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, man.